Okay, welcome back. Hour number two. There's an awful lot going on, and I will tell you this, it's getting worse. And I don't want to jump right into that with both feet, but that's the fact of the matter. Let's see if my partner's there. Are you there, Erica?
I am here, Jeff.
Okay, welcome back.
Thank you. You too.
Yeah. I talked to a real estate agent today, and I asked the agent, I said, Do you know many people who are sick now? Just as a general question. He says, "Oh yeah, st dozens of people who are sick, either with some kind of a, maybe it's COVID, I don't know, but they're ill and ailing. They've been injured and they're hiding their injuries." He said, "They don't talk about it much, but I know them and they're sick." So there's another confirmation. Then he said that the mother, 61-year-old mother of a friend of his, had cancer years ago and then began getting the shots. Well, she was just told in the hospital, apparently yesterday or day before, that she has maybe 3 months to live. She's got metastasized multiple myeloma everywhere. And they then asked her, "Would you please vacate the hospital bed and just go home? We need the bed." That's where we are.
Wow.
So if you don't think it's getting worse, and that doesn't help you understand that it is, then you don't want to hear, because it is. And this is out in the west here. This is in Oregon, southern Oregon. And I'll bet in almost any town USA now, the medical facilities are, if not full, and some are, and many are over full, they're being pushed. And it's just something that is exponentially, constantly growing. And we can go back to the Rasmussen poll, which some people didn't believe, I don't think. And I was able to find the actual head pollster of the Rasmussen reports. And here, listen to him. If for those of you who may not have believed it, I played this last hour just a little bit, but in case you just joined us now, here it is. This is the head pollster of Rasmussen. All we gotta do is turn him on.
Sensationalists, we give you the facts and let you make your own conclusions about how newsworthy our polling is. But this one, I can honestly say, is probably the biggest poll we've ever run in our 20 years of business. I'm going to start with a number, 73 million American adults, and I'll tell you what it means after the intro. $73 million Americans. That's how many people say they personally know someone whose death they think may have been caused by the side effects of the COVID-19 vaccine. Here's the question. 28% of American adults, which extrapolates to about 73 million people, say they know someone who they think died from the vaccine.
There you go. It's right there.
That's a lot. That's a lot.
Well, the joke of it all is VAERS. 13,000 officially dead, 13,000 plus, and we got 73 million who say they know somebody who's died that they think was linked to the bioweapon injection. So I'm upping my projection to 40 to 50 million Americans may be dead now after 2 years from these shots. I don't think I'm too far off. Anyway,
you can see how it would happen. Just how significantly, these shots undermine people's health. It's like injecting chaos into a finely tuned machine.
I know. And if I hear again somebody saying, "Oh, it's an experimental thing, that's the problem." No, they got it asked backwards. It's not experimental at all. It is performing brilliantly. It's deployed. They built it. It's doing what it was designed to do. And so many different ways. Now we find out from New Zealand, there's a new study from down there that claims that virtually everyone who has taken the shot has likely gotten kidney damage. This is the newest wrinkle. So good luck.
Yeah, I've been hearing that for well over a year. The kidneys are so delicate that...
Mm-hmm.
You know, they're easily damaged by blood clots or thick blood. or when they're deprived of oxygen, very delicate. I mean, they're one of the first organs to be damaged when you have things like diabetes, which is similar to what's going on with these shots, with the spike protein. They create hypoxic conditions. And
which involves...
Right.
So,
hypoxic
yeah,
conditions, I, yeah. Go ahead.
And oxidative stress, and it just these little delicate capillaries and nephrons in that organ are very susceptible to this kind of injury. Same with the eyes.
Well, we do have a lot of people with vision problems, don't we, after they've been injured?
Yeah, we do. We do. And I'm hearing
including
more.
Blindness, right on down.
Yeah, it's starting to be reported more and more in the people who are experiencing shedding sickness as well. Which, again, it's no surprise if you're acquiring spike protein from the environment. It is biologically active and will produce these same effects.
Yeah. People are still taking the shots, in case
yes.
some of you out there were thinking or hoping that maybe there was a trend where virtually no one was taking the shots anymore. They're taking the shots. Not as many, perhaps, but they are. And they have brought back the financial inducement to roll up your sleeve. And it's working. And they're working that scam through the schools. You want to set this one up? This is the one I have next.
Yeah, I think this is a Amherst school district, school board. And I believe it is Amherst, Massachusetts. And if you remember, I don't know, was it a month or two ago that we were talking about the advertisement going on to coerce people financially to get the booster?
Exactly.
And apparently it's
$75
working.
$75 bonus if you
yes.
roll up your sleeve and let them put that needle into your skin. Wow. It was $75. We talked about it for sure.
Yeah, well, I think it was right around Christmas.
I think
just in time for the holidays.
Now, here's a short video from Children's Health Defense that Erica found, and it pertains precisely to that same program, a $75 check, a gift card. It's not even a check. You have to use it at a certain shopping outlet, I think, if you get the shot, the booster, the bivalent booster, because that's the only thing they're giving now, the bivalent booster. So here is a school superintendent talking about the drive through their school, and they call it a, get this one, they call the drive to get their kids injected, and parents too, a vaccine equity clinic. Are you going to participate? We're having a vaccine equity clinic. Come on down and get your $75 after you get your booster. And
yeah, you don't want to be left out.
They came down. And the school, you'll hear this guy, the school got a bonus for putting on their vaccine equity clinic. They got a bonus of $2,000 to the school. So the school sold out for $2,000, and the people sold out for $75 worth of credit at some big shopping outlet. And if any of you are wondering if the mainstream media is reporting anything about the truth, forget it. These people, they watch TV. They're not hearing any of this stuff. It's just not talked about.
No.
All right. Here's this. Anything you want to add? I'll play this principal next. Then we got to find
the
myocarditis thing. All right. This is a school principal. And at the end of it, Dr. Merrill Nass steps in and has a few words to say. And you might tell our listeners who Merrill Nass is again.
Merrill Nass is a physician in Maine, and she's been, she was reprimanded by the local, whatever the licensing board is in Maine, and
right.
But has been very outspoken over the last 2 years in stopping this.
All right, here we go. Here's the school superintendent talking about their wildly successful vaccine equity clinic.
And days from now, on the Friday the 20th, which is our teacher work day, we are hosting a state equity
vaccine equity clinic, which involves anyone who comes gets a $75 gift card, usually to a supermarket or department store. There was one in the town, two in the town actually already, and I think they were like mostly Stop and Shop, which, you know, for many people like myself is the same as cash. So we send it out to families and to staff members today, but anytime between 12 and 4, we encourage people to register. There's a lot of interest in that. So we appreciate the state partnering with us, and this seems like a great opportunity in terms of the impact of boosters right now that we're seeing in terms of the data coming out, and also a financial incentive seem to, and so far, be working very well. I think it's really different than where there were a lot of incentives the first time there were vaccines, where people were, you know, eager to get them regardless. And I think the eagerness is somewhat muted for many people with the boosters. And what the state is telling us is these incentives have really gotten people over the finish line, and that's a good thing. So we're excited to host that. Actually, we also get a small but four-digit monetary benefit from the state for hosting one of those clinics. So it actually is not a...
That's a $2,000 bribe, in case you missed it.
Difference in our bottom line, but it's $2,000 that we wouldn't have had if we weren't hosting the clinic. So good for the district, good for students and staff. So we're excited to do it. We had a...
This is another guy talking about the same thing.
A clinic last week that was put on by the state that we held on that Friday, which had 175 people vaccinated. 56 of those were children under 18. Everyone who got vaccinated got a $75 gift card to Cumberland Farms, which for many of us, unless you drive an electric car, perhaps is the same as money, because, you know, that's where you go. So thanks to W.S. Moreland, who really spearheaded the effort. They were really happy. We got a lovely email, which I shared with the school committee, just that they felt like the clinic felt that it went well. And thanks to Earl Miller's team at Crest for providing additional just crowd management when people are coming in and out and all those things.
She got, they got a lovely email in addition to the $2,000 check. A lovely email. Doesn't that make it nice when you go to all those funerals? Remember that lovely email? Here's Meryl Nass commenting about that.
Doctor, school superintendent, was very proud of his vaccine clinic, so proud that his $75 gift cards got people over the finish line, and he was able to vaccinate an additional 56 students last week and over 100 adults. I think his terminology, got them over the finish line, is unfortunate, since his 16-year-old student never made it to the finish line.
Yeah, one of the kids died. Died suddenly, apparently. This is insane.
He doesn't mention it.
It's insane.
It's just a casualty.
That's right. Collateral damage, no problem.
So essentially it was, we could call it a sterilization clinic.
Yes, that works. And the other side of that coin is almost preposterous when you think about it, though. Here they are vaccinating children and getting a $2,000 check and a lovely email for the school, and they just don't talk about reality. Who are these people? They're in charge of education. They're not educating anybody. It's crazy. It's all crazy. I think there'll be more of these bonus things coming along, because the bivalent booster is not a big hit so far as I can tell.
Yeah, I think this particular program was due to be phased out in the next couple of weeks, February or so. I'm sure you're right. There'll probably be another one to increase uptake.
Yeah, now, the myocarditis that I have here is a post from one of the social media groups. It's not the actual video. That's what is in my history, and I didn't go looking for it, so that's what I got.
Well, okay, so I think it's in the same, this was from Children's Health Defense, their Friday roundtable with Meryl Nass. And in this same video, there was a doctor from Hawaii, Maui, drawing a blank on his name. But anyway, he was commenting on the rates of myocarditis in children. And approximately 50% of those who receive this injection will have myocarditis. And it may be completely asymptomatic. You would not pick it up unless they did a contrast MRI, all other markers could appear normal. Nonetheless, these kids are at great risk of sudden cardiac death. And in one of the studies that they followed up with these children at 90 days, they still had irregular MRIs, or maybe it was EKGs. But at any rate, it was an indication that scar tissue had already begun to form in the heart.
Wow.
So that's at least 50%. Now, if we believe the data that Malone was citing well over a year ago, he said every person that receives these mRNA injections will have some degree of myocarditis, symptomatic or not.
Symptomatic or not. 50% of the kids who take the shot have subclinical myo.
Yes.
That's catastrophic.
It is.
That's absolutely hideous. They could literally fall over dead in the living room or not wake up in the morning. We have a new term. We have died suddenly, and there's a new one now they're using. Drum roll. Take it away.
Died peacefully. That's if you look at obituaries nowadays, that seems to be an overused term.
Died peacefully.
I mean, it's better than saying went to bed and didn't wake up, right?
God. This whole thing of 50% of the kids who take the shot with subclinical or asymptomatic myocarditis is horrible. Remember, the general rule of thumb for people who are stricken with myocarditis is 5 years. And many of them are in really serious condition when they begin to manifest symptoms, and they get put on a heart transplant list, and they'll get a spiked heart. They don't have a spike-free organ system yet that I've heard of, and, you know, who are you going to trust anyway? So
no,
organ
I don't
donation...
know what they're proposing.
I don't know. I don't know.
Probably these pig hearts. You know, they're humanized pigs.
Well, remember, they came up with a way to have a genetic match to where your body didn't attack the pig valve or whatever it was they were doing. And there's no reason that they couldn't. I don't know about pig hearts and human hearts. I don't know how close they are. But certainly the tissue match is close enough now. Now, if the pump itself will work, then they may genetically modify pigs to make human hearts or hearts that'll pass, and that'll be a huge industry.
Yeah, I've read something on that. That's already, it's done.
Well,
they've done it.
Last hour, they have done it. Last hour, Don mentioned a story that you, I'm sure, heard about, too. All the elementary schools in England are getting heart machines put into them in case a child keels over.
Right.
They can restart the heart. I don't know what it's called. There are different names for them. Anyway, it jolts the heart back into action. So in elementary school in England, everyone will have one of these machines. It's not an EKG machine. What is it?
It was AED?
Something. Anyway, the idea is that they're expecting children to begin to fall over and their hearts have stopped. And it'll be from myocarditis or pericarditis, and they'll use the machine to restart the heart while the paramedics are on the way. And these kids will be damaged, terribly damaged, and they already are. And we still don't know about this football player.
I don't think we will.
And there was a video of him. Did I send you the video?
He made
a statement.
One.
It was about a 4-minute video of him with no mask, no sunglasses, no hoodie. He was just talking. Showed him walking down the hall, and he had a team T-shirt on, I think. And he went on for 4 minutes telling everyone how much he appreciated the love and the prayers and the hope and everything they were sending him, all the good wishes. And the only thing I noticed about it was that there must have been at least 100 edits in it for sound. audio edits, and they edited together and smoothed the voice out, so it sounded like he was making one long statement with no er and mispronounced words and so forth. It was perfectly edited. And I again asked myself, well, what else could they be doing here? Could this be CGI editing? And the answer was yes. Yes.
Yeah.
They could take a video of him, an interview from somewhere, and run that through a CGI process, sound edit it, and they could make his face move and talk, and you'd never know the difference. They have all that now. I'm not saying the guy is dead. I hope he's alive. But I'm just repeating and reiterating the simple truth that I don't trust anything anymore.
Well, they're under great pressure to keep up appearances now. So they would certainly resort to these types of tactics.
Well, they have a lot of money on the line. Okay, we're still talking about vaccinating children with all kinds of other vaccines. Remember? How many in California? I can't remember. 36, 78, I don't know what it is. Some crazy number of vaccines that you're supposed to have by the time you're 18. All right? Well, what is the government doing to make those vaccines safer and more competent? They're changing them all to an mRNA platform. They're revising them and recreating them. Whether it's measles, mumps, and rubella, DPT, it doesn't matter. They're all going to be mRNA-based vaccines. Now, here's Dr. Sukirat Bhakti talking about exactly that, just for a minute or so, because this is really critically important. Every vaccine in the world is being revised to become now an mRNA vaccine.
4 weeks ago, I don't know where you saw the video released by the WHO where they proclaimed that it was their intent to introduce mRNA vaccines for all vaccinations on Earth and then go from there to treatment of all other diseases, including cancer, etc. And you may know that the first mRNA flu combined vaccine with corona has already been authorized. And there are major attempts to introduce this new mRNA vaccine against the flu this autumn worldwide. Switzerland has joined in, Germany is joining in, Austria is joining in. Now, at that point, my wife, Karina, and I said, we have to travel. And we have to try to get a message through that will be heard. And I'm going to get this message through now. And
okay, he goes on with the rest of his presentation there. It's about 15 minutes long. It's been around for a while. But the point that all vaccines are going to end up being mRNA vaccines on the planet should scare everybody listening. mRNA means they can be programmed to do anything. Now, not necessarily to code for the spike protein. They could code for any protein you can imagine, including proteins like the spike that you can't imagine. The spike is utterly synthetic and so diabolically deadly and so multifaceted, it's mind-boggling. So with mRNA being the primary platform for every vaccination on Earth, imagine what they could do. Now, if you're a transhumanist sci-fi lover, you could have a field day with this. They could cause that thing to code for anything, to make you into a Borg. I don't know. You name it, and they can do it. That's where we're going. So what kind of a future do we have on this planet? Really, think about it.
Well, the human organism, or any organism, is not going to withstand that.
No.
That doesn't create a trans anything.
No.
You know, transgenic humans.
Transsexual,
I mean,
maybe.
With embryos.
Yeah.
You don't do it in a fully formed mammal or human being. All you're doing is introducing things to produce or cause your body to produce foreign proteins. And right now, this is proving to be disastrous. There's nothing natural about this. This is, and I've said it before, a form of genetic rape. And the body is just, it can't handle it. Every organ, every tissue, every cell that is expressing that protein will be attacked because it's non-self.
Correct.
And the fact that this thing doesn't shut off means that that organ will be destroyed because it will continue to produce the protein and the body will continue to attack it until that organ is no longer viable.
We're having more and more talk heard here and there if you watch about brain issues, attitude, change in personality, especially in terms of hostility. That's very commonly talked about. We're pretty well convinced that we know for a fact the spike goes wherever the blood goes, and it goes right into the brain. And wherever the spike goes, it ends up attaching to the ACE2 in the endothelial tissue on the inside of a blood vessel. Now, if you go down to the size of a capillary, you can do that, and you'll still have an ACE2 for that spike to grab onto and to begin to cause a microclot. And when that capillary gets shut off, wherever it is in your brain, the cells that that capillary is feeding via the single blood cell at a time that goes through that capillary, either carrying oxygen or some other kind of nutritional value, to give to the cells on either side and all around 360 degrees around that capillary, that little tube, will no longer be being fed and they will die. That's necrosis. That's a necrotic part of your brain. That means a small, tiny little piece of your brain has been killed. Now, we know that trillions of spike proteins are involved ultimately with these shots. So how many would go into the brain over time, set up shop there by attaching to an ACE2 and causing a microclot and dead blood cells, dead brain cells, both, because they stack up there and they all die. So what do we have for a future for these people who literally are making spike proteins around the clock through the mRNA that has been injected into them or picked up via shedding, not in the same numbers as an injection, make no mistake about that, but if you continue to be exposed to shedding vaxxed people, how long will it be before you take on enough mRNA and spike to give yourself a post-threshold crisis? We think you can go to a certain level and your immune system will take care of most of the spike, for example. But if you're overdosed with shedding constantly, you're going to pass that threshold and you won't be able to handle it anymore. And your body will begin to go into a slow decline.
Yeah. Yeah, you'll become hypersensitized to the spike so that every time you're around it, you'll immediately begin reacting to it in a very inflammatory way.
And how much of this are you hearing on your local nightly news? Are you hearing anything about this on the local nightly news?
Mm.
No. No. It's just not there. Out of sight, out of mind. Right? Don't look, don't tell. I don't know. All those things apply. The nightly news is, well, they don't call it programming for nothing. It's mind programming. It's what it is. And they're very, very good at it. In fact, they're geniuses at it.
They sure are. Propaganda machine.
Okay. Anything else we need to touch on here before we go over to our human side of the ledger? What we do, in case you're new to the program, is each program we try to spend at least 5 or 10 minutes reading stories posted by people, accounts of their life struggles, their vax injuries, friends that they've known, children that they are trying to nurse through a catastrophe after getting vaxxed, etc. These are very sad stories for the most part. But it's the only place you're going to hear real-life indications of the nature of the crisis that we're facing. These people are telling their truths. Maybe a couple of them are ringers. We don't know. But certainly 95-plus percent of them are real, and they're accurate. And you can tell by the text and the prose and the writing how serious these people are. Anything else we missed before we jump into this?
No.
You mentioned the myocarditis. Maybe that's worth repeating. Go ahead, the 50% that are asymptomatic,
subclinical. Yeah, that was the children. 50% of children who have received this injection will have myocarditis, whether they have symptoms or not.
Wow.
And at 90 days, the children that they followed who had had these injections, 50% of those had scar tissue already in their hearts. And that's the thing about the heart
days.
Is that
90 days,
there was scar tissue forming. So part of the problem is that the heart itself is becoming transfected with this mRNA. The lipid nanoparticle goes in there and dumps its payload, and heart cells begin to produce the spike. The body sees that and then starts to attack it. And so you've got two problems going on. You've got cells that are producing a foreign protein, and the body seeing that and attacking it, and then the protein itself that's being produced and then released into circulation.
Not good. And I go back to what I opened the program with. I talked to a gentleman today and asked him, I said, I didn't mention, do you know anybody who's sick? Oh, yeah. Dozens of people. People are, you know, coughing, sneezing, and they're out of work. They're home with, I don't know what's wrong with them, but they're ill. So this goes back to what we've been saying. And there's that herd instinct not to let on that you're ailing. You see it in a herd. You don't want to be the trailing animal. Not only will you be picked off by a predator, but the herd will kind of turn its back on you. Survival of the fittest and all the rest of it. So people don't want to admit that they're sick. And I understand that. That's fine. But just because people are out walking and talking doesn't mean they're not suffering from something, from these damn shots, or shedding. And I don't want to separate the two because I think they are inextricably linked. And it's critical to keep that in mind.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. But I think, too, that people, they're not going to immediately think the worst. They'll think that this is just a cold or flu, or they're just tired and it'll pass.
Right. Okay. Let's jump to our human ledger here and see what we've got. What do you want to start with?
Should we go back to the 25th?
Sure.
I think we've got some in there to clean up.
There's 1, 2, 3, 4 myocarditis.
I think we did those.
Three of them. Okay, we got those four.
Did we do the last one? I think, we did do the last one. Yeah. How about never-ending flu?
Where's that?
Right after myocarditis.
Got it. Okay. Go ahead with that.
Someone says, what's with the never-ending flu, cough, and cold these days? Is it just me? Trying to recover since 2 weeks, and all the doctor prescribed was paracetamol. That's acetaminophen or Tylenol. Every second person I see is either sneezing or coughing. I guess since the masks are off this year, nobody took precautions for flu or something? Someone else says, yep, I agree. It's every other person.
See, and there's our mask argument again. Even if it only does a marginal bit of good for you, take it. Take it. It's okay. Mm. You have to bend every advantage your way in these times. And these are times that we have never seen before on this planet. Never.
No.
Wear gloves. Eric and I both wear gloves in the store. Just little lightweight gloves. Keep them in the car. Just put them on. If you don't have any, use those hand wipes and wipe your hands down. Hold the cart on the sides of the basket part. Don't grab the handle. And don't worry about trying to sterilize the handle. It'll take you 5 minutes. Just grab the cart on the sides. Just spread your arms out and grab it on the sides. It'll work. But you got to think. And if you're in the store and you smell something funny, not like ha-ha, but unusual, like a very strong cologne or a very, very strong perfume or some other aroma like a dryer cloth, don't think that it's anything harmless. Think that may be an alarm bell that you need to pay attention to and get away from wherever that smell is coming from, because that is the smell of the vaxxed. Now, there are two types of smells. One of them is not horrible, but it's rather too intense. It's like a fragrance. And the other is rather a putrescence kind of a smell, which we have explained many times on this program, what's causing that. These are aldehydes, and those are warning signs for people who can smell that, not everyone can, to distance yourself from whoever you're around, because they are exuding that, and they're shot up in all likelihood.
Yeah, that's becoming kind of a hallmark signature of some of these people. And that's, you know, their fats, their lipids are being oxidized and forming these toxic aldehydes that are being released through breath or skin or whatever.
Touch,
and some
touch,
of them can
just
be fragrant.
Think touch. Yeah. Think touch. Okay? And it doesn't have to be direct touch. Somebody grabbed that handle of that shopping cart before you and their hands were dirty and sweaty and grimy and they were exuding these things and they leave them on the handle. So I know it sounds, you're paranoid, Jeff. No, this is serious business. We've established that shedding is real.
Aldehydes are one thing, but really the concern is the spike. The spike is coming through the skin.
Right.
If you remember that Japanese, not mortician, what was he? The Japanese doctor that was doing the autopsy. Yes, pathologist. He said the bodies, the skin of these people was all producing spike. Yeah, it was staining positive for spike protein.
On
so
the skin.
These people are leaving behind in their epithelial cells or skin cells, skin cells endowed or imbued with spike.
And if you think, I'll just wash my hands when I get home. Well, proteins can go right through your skin.
Yeah, this size can, yes.
Okay, we're down in nanoland almost.
And that's the proof of that is these people that get deathly ill after hugging someone, having just brief skin contact, cheek to cheek or handshake.
Well, we know one who was in bed for a month and a half.
Yep.
And that's just one. Okay. We didn't get through the AIDS issue.
That's true.
We got tinnitus. We've got 6-7 AIDS things to do. It starts with triple X.
Yeah, how far did we get? I can't tell.
Three X's. Are you there?
All right, got it. Yep.
Okay. Go ahead with three X's. Go ahead.
Well, this is a little bit facetious here. Why don't we skip that one?
Well, don't skip that one then. Okay. It's that one again? Oh, I see.
Yeah.
Yeah. No, okay.
Yeah.
Never mind.
Okay. And the next one as well.
Go
let's
to
see.
Five.
Yeah.
Go to six.
Six.
Last chance.
All right. This is asking, well, we should probably just read the first one so that people know what we're talking about.
This is the end of the thread.
Right. I'll read the first one that initiated this.
Go ahead.
I am totally 100% down in the dumps. I'm coming here to cry for a minute. Please don't reprimand me for wallowing in self-pity. I dealt with hemorrhaging for 16 months. I finally got that under control, and now my immune system is shot. I cannot stay well. I catch every cold, flu, whatever germ is near me. I've been sick 3 months in a row, 3 weeks at a time. I'm trying to rebuild my immune system. I went back to work caretaking for a private family. They didn't take the shots, but her stroke is possibly the result of shedding. I cannot keep myself well enough to help her, and I feel like I'm letting everyone down because I cannot stay well. I'm basically a hermit and have been for the most part of 2 years. I was doing better, but apparently it just changed gears. Someone told me my immune system is like a child's and is rebuilding. I hope that's true. This is so freaking depressing. So this is somebody that had, just to review, this woman was a caretaker in a nursing home. And when the vax first came out, that nursing home, you know, of course, gave most of their residents the shot. And so she had very close contact, physical contact with many of these people because she had to, you know, help them get dressed, help them bathe, you know, help them stand up, help them go to bed, all that sort of thing. So she had very close contact with them and got very, very sick shortly thereafter. And it got so bad to the point where she had to quit the job and then went home to recover. Now she's super sensitive to shedding. So she did get some medical help. I mean, she went to a naturopath. The conventional doctors were useless and was on the track to recovery. But now she's finding out that her immune system is not what it was, what it used to be. And so there is some concern that, I don't know, is this temporary or is this a sign of permanent damage? Right. We don't really know.
Okay. All right. We're going to jump down the thread and pick up, and I've scanned the last ones. 6, 7, and 8 are the only ones worth reading here.
Okay.
Six, just one sentence. Did you take the COVID shot, or is your sickness from being around those that did? No, I didn't take it. I work with 63 nursing home residents who did. Within 3 months, I had to quit my job. I spent the next 16 months dealing with shedding until my blood pressure finally dropped. I found a holistic doctor, as you heard Erica say, and started detoxing. Brain fog lifted almost immediately. Bleeding stopped. Lethargy went away. Weird muscle spasms stopped. Everything seemed to be better. Now my immune system is weak. And go ahead.
Someone says to that, could it be the ivermectin? I don't think it is healthy to be taking something like ivermectin long term. It seems like it would mess up the harmony of your body and gut.
Okay. Well, there we should just wrap it up there. The next one isn't worth anything
okay.
either. This is another story about somebody working around the vaxxed and a perfect example of shedding and constant exposure to the spike protein and mRNA, perhaps to a lesser degree, we don't know. We just don't know. So there you go.
There's one last one. I think this one's worth reading. Asking about the ivermectin. She says, I don't take it as part of my protocol anymore.
I missed
that
one. I
take it at the beginning of cold and flu symptoms, and I have a bottle I bought 2 years ago, so it hasn't been changed. The paste that I bought within the last year doesn't work at all, and I'm afraid it's been changed, so I don't take it anymore. I do think it can change your gut flora, as it is an antibacterial. I take a strong probiotic now. I won't take anything long term.
Now, that one I didn't see. That's interesting, because we're bringing up the issue of probiotics. Now, tomorrow night on the program, having on a guest who has a company which may have certainly about the best probiotics in the world. It's going to be interesting to fish through that tomorrow. And one of our listeners bought from this company on my recommendation, and I hadn't used it. I just heard really good things about it. He bought some, and he called me after 3-4 days, and he said, this is incredible. He's been fighting with issues, digestive issues, for a long time, and I'm going to try and get him on the program tomorrow night with this lady to talk about his experience. Within 4 days, he had results that he hadn't been able to get in 15 years, I don't know, something like that. So a really efficient, properly formulated, effective probiotic can do amazing things. In this era of COVID, the microbiome in the digestive tract is often ruined. Can you speak to that a little bit more?
Yeah, that's one of the features of this illness. because of what the spike protein does with the ACE2 receptor in the intestines, you don't have normal tryptophan metabolism, and tryptophan is an amino acid component of protein, but that's critical to your physiology, but it's also critical to your healthy bacteria. And when they can't have the tryptophan that they need, they can't manufacture the antimicrobial peptides that they produce in order to keep your intestinal tract healthy and to keep the pathogenic bacteria away. So when those antimicrobial peptides aren't being produced, you can very quickly be overrun with pathogenic forms that produce inflammation and dysregulate a lot of the molecular signaling that goes on from the gut to the brain. You
right.
end up getting a lot of inflammation when that starts to happen.
Well, we'll talk more about that in certainly tomorrow night's program and in the future as well. Probiotics may be a really nice thing to include in your regimen of trying to deal with being stronger and more able to withstand the world around us now. It's very treacherous. Okay, there's a shedding section of six stories. It's right
okay.
A little above.
Yep.
It's right above the spike-induced AIDS.
I see it, yep.
Okay, bleeding is first, car ride second, and so forth?
Yep, yep.
All right, we'll go ahead and start with bleeding, and we'll work through these. These are pretty good.
I have a good friend who is unjabbed, and her boyfriend got jabbed and boosted. She suddenly started having awful issues with her periods and had to have surgery on her uterus. She definitely has tied it to his shedding, but the doctors won't even run the correct test to confirm what's causing the problem. It's not a vaccine, so I do wish people would stop calling it that. It's false language.
And the next one, I gave my Pfizer jab neighbors. By the way, again, if you're sleeping with someone who's your vax opposite, somebody's going to have a problem. And in that case, mm-hmm. it was the young woman. And surgery on the uterus is not a good sign, and it may end up with the typical pattern, cancer, hysterectomy. Wouldn't be surprised.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, I gave my Pfizer jab neighbors a ride 19 months ago. I still have massive headaches on the top and back of my head. My fingers go numb while sleeping, and when waking up, sometimes I have night sweats as well. I can no longer see anything close up, not any longer. I have right eye floaters. My dad's friend went to a Christmas party, and he now has heart issues. Shedding is very real and very dangerous. Of course, they are covering it up. Please speak up about shedding. There are people out there who are suffering like me every single day. Thanks. Comment to that. I have to go into my work office twice a week, surrounded by the jabbed. Every time I do, I come home with migraines and really itchy, itchy skin. My wife's the same way. Next.
Okay. I was suffering from vax shedding really bad. I contacted a doctor who said she had the same problem. She said the protocol is 600 milligrams of NAC twice a day, 500 milligrams of quercetin once a day. My symptoms greatly improved, and now I'm able to go out in public again without suffering afterwards. I've been doing it for about a week, and I'm feeling great. And I got my energy levels back. I hope this helps anyone out there suffering. This protocol apparently helps your A1C block the spike proteins. Well, I'm not sure what that is, but...
No. Sounds impressive, but who knows? All right. Here's another one. Look, this may or may not have any meaning, but I gave out trick-or-treat candy to about 30 kids. Being as most of the kids were military dependents, I would suspect most were vaccinated or even recently receivers of COVID flu shots. What the hell the difference is? You inadvertently get close to them to say, how cute, and drop candy in their bags. Well, the next week or the next day, for a week thereafter, my head had lightning, in many different spots constantly. I assume that's headache, lightning. I don't know. I finally went to the doctor, got an MRI, and they said my head was okay. They gave me pain medicine. It took about 13 days for the lightning in my head to go away. It was not a headache. It was bursts of lightning, shooting various pains. I do not have ever had a headache. HX is history? Well, thank you. A history of any types of headaches. Do not get too close to shared air is my recommendation based on my own anecdotal experience. So there's another one. All right, go ahead. This is kind of a long one. Let's see if we can get through it. Go ahead.
Okay. I really don't know what is going on, but I think the shedding is more severe. I live in Spain. Many of my unjabbed friends are thinking the same. Those people who took only one or two jabs, and I didn't get them as much symptoms anymore, are now shedding a lot. And the smell is more severe. I have started to smell it in people who only took one jab lately. I think this started when the new Omicron boosters rolled out. There is two obsessions. These new Omicron jabs shed a lot and damage everyone a lot, and that's why everyone is shedding a lot. And then it is something happening maybe with 5G. Just feeling hard to live normal life anymore. I cannot even keep my windows open if my neighbors are home and they have the windows open because the smell comes inside.
Wow.
The smell is stronger and stronger. I don't have a good feeling about this year, and this cannot be a good sign that those who didn't shed a lot have now started to shed more. Just thinking what is happening inside of their body now. Have you noticed something similar, or is it only here in Spain? I find it hard to go out anymore, even for a walk, because the smell is everywhere. It stays wherever they've been. Every single person who I cross the street smells. This is starting to feel like zombie world, totally. But even stores and supermarkets stink a lot. I feel the smell is stuck inside of the stores. I really need to go back to Finland. I want to stay healthy. Here in Spain, they all have tourist beaches with 5G now.
Okay, well, there's a report from overseas. Same profile, although in Europe it may be more intense. I don't know. There's something a little different about the whole European theater, so to speak, than here.
It seems to be.
I don't know what. Okay, that pretty well wraps it up for tonight. We're out of time. Thanks to all of you for being here, as always. Anything you want to add, kiddo?
No.
Okay, good job.
Okay, likewise, Jeff. Thank you.
Thanks.
Good night, everyone.
All right, we'll be back after this short timeout with Mitchell Henderson, so hang on.